We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And as always, I'm joined on the show by Sean Siegel. We are doing a little bit of a bonus Q&A today. You may have heard it mentioned on some of the other shows. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, a little bit outside of our normal kind of schedule, I guess. But lots of questions coming in from listeners, some questions submitted by myself and Sean as well. Even one question submitted by my wife that we may add in, so a little teaser for later in the show. But Sean, I want to start off by kind of taking a trip down memory lane. I actually went back, I done some research, probably done more research for this show than some of our other shows, but I did go back and check to see the first show that we did do together, and that was the 10th of August 2016, back in the Overtime Ireland podcast days. We previewed the NFC North, so hopefully we got everything right in that episode, but went back and checked that. It's more difficult to find exactly which podcast it is when you're going back through iTunes to find it. The control F function doesn't work very well. But the other thing then that was that led to eventually us starting this here podcast, which was RotoViz Overtime, the 1st of August, nearly 2 years later, 2018, RotoViz OT episode one was recorded at that point. And then we have over 300 shows. The first of those shows were pretty much 45 minutes to an hour for the first 100. Then we kind of changed up the format. And if I add up the kind of estimated time, we'd be at 12,000 minutes of podcast time. That would be 200 hours or 8.33 days. And I even went down to 0.02 of a year. So a lot of time spent over the last 3 years doing podcasts. It's been a huge amount of fun. And it's something that kind of stemmed from one podcast episode and spawned all the way through to whatever this is, 303, 304, whatever it is. So pretty incredible. When I was driving my daughter to play school or preschool this week, and I was like, I wonder what it is in minutes. So I went back and did that, which I thought was interesting.
And those 8 1/3 days have been a lot of fun. Colm, I enjoyed doing your show so much that when a little bit later we had a chance to bring you on and have you be part of RotoViz Radio, I mentioned that it would be fun to do a show together. And that has evolved into just the party that we have three times a week here on RotoViz OT. And you as the executive producer of RotoViz Radio, which has gone extremely well. The channel has done a great deal of growth over the last couple of years. And I just think the excitement around it has been fantastic. So I owe a lot to that day on August 10th, 2016, and just very, very excited about how things have transpired. And it's fun to have this sort of cross-ocean friendship as well. The listeners obviously love the fact that you are from Ireland, are located in Ireland. I have a special little connection there in that my mother's side of the family originally came from Ireland. And so she talks about it a lot, wants to go back and visit if she ever gets a chance. I'll probably try and go with her, see it as well. And so, yeah, it's been a great time, and it's a lot of fun to do this. And Colin, we're looking forward to this episode here. Obviously, if you're in it only for the football, feel free to skip. But this may give you some opportunities to make fun of us on social media, which, again, you know, is what it's all about. And you know, the questions that we've gotten from listeners over the last several years have been able to incorporate into shows is really one of my favorite parts, being able to answer some of those questions. And, you know, things have come up in the show related to viewer interaction that has helped in terms of me writing articles. And it just allows us to get a sense of what are some questions we need to answer, what are some things we need to think about. And so I love the community, love the relationship. We love the listener leagues we've got going on. And this should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. And Sean mentioned there making fun of people, well, not making fun of people, making fun of us on social media. Sean, of course, will never see those. So send them my way if that is to happen. But Sean, the one thing I was going to mention for anyone who's listening to this when it comes out on Sunday, the Friday episode of Stealing Bananas, I think that listeners should go back and check that. There was kind of a meditation style relaxation conversation at the end of that, that, you know, Sean was talking about getting into the outdoors and things. Is that something that's in the future, RotoViz meditation guide?
It probably is, right? I mean, when I do some of the YouTube yoga sessions and, you know, you get so relaxed and then they have the meditation, you know, why wouldn't we all be kind of getting in that direction? And it worked right away because I got a text from Ben really just like 45 minutes later saying he had already been for a walk. It went really well. His mood was lifted and lifted from already being obviously extremely high, just having recorded Stealing Bananas. So yes, RotoViz OT meditations. I mean, who doesn't want fantasy football in Zen?
Yeah, and I have no idea if Sean was being telling the truth there or not, but let's just say that Ben did. Ben seemed to want to get out into the open air, so maybe it did start that all off. But Sean, we have lots of questions to go through, and we may even split this up into multiple shows here, but thank you to everyone who sent in questions. Really enjoyed those. And the questions from the listeners for the shows, like you mentioned, have been very thought-provoking and lots of great interaction there. We're going to go through them. I've kind of tried to tie them up into kind of topics. So the first one came down to game watching and you know, game day rituals and things like that. One, Sean, that came up, and the question, you know, was, they said it was a non-football question, but still kind of football related. They said, curious about both of our viewing routines / rituals. He said, I think Sean mentioned once he watches each game one by one from an elliptical machine to work off those tacos. He said, if he recalls correctly. So has that changed? And then he said, what is mine? So I'll let you go first, Sean, for the kind of the game day experience.
Yeah, definitely tacos, wings, yeah, if I can do it. It's a little bit trickier. I'm a little bit further away from some of the quick places to pick stuff up now. And so the games start here at 10. I get up and start working on lineups and, you know, check with co-managers on different things. And so then it's sort of into game time. But often someone will run out and grab some donuts for us. And so I'm going to call them, watch the games and eat donuts. So I mean, you can't do too much worse than that in terms of a Sunday experience. The other thing that has changed a little bit, and this may be one of the reasons for continuing to put on some weight. I'm 6 foot and now up to like 220, right? And so we'll just say that that's mostly muscle and try to make the body composition look okay. Got to get out and start playing my tennis again. Stop doing that kind of during the pandemic. But the treadmill is in a room of the house now that doesn't. So I had this very elaborate sort of Sunday Ticket DirecTV setup I'd watch the games for like 3 hours before starting to eat and like walk for 3 hours. And you can walk, you know, a pretty good distance in that time and at least work off some of the calories. The whole system doesn't work now with reaching the room that the treadmill is in. So what I'm going to have to do, and just realized as we were discussing this that I could do it because I've got it now on some other TVs, the shortcuts version for Sunday Ticket can be pulled up, obviously, with the internet, you know, have the internet on the TV, and just set that up for the TV in that room so that at least the games I don't get to on Sunday, I actually watch while I'm exercising as opposed to while I'm eating more. But yeah, so, you know, go through the games, have like five or six recorded at the same time there and try and, you know, watch two or three drives, switch, try and not look at the bottom line. You don't want spoilers for that Chiefs game while you're, you know, in there watching a little bit of Houston Texans and trying to figure out how, you know, they're in the NFL. One of my favorite parts of Ted Lasso, and Colin, you and I have talked about this a little bit, was when they're like on the verge of getting relegated, and obviously they're trying to fight that off. And they're like, well, what do you guys do in the US? And they explain, oh, well, just, you know, they play out the string in mostly empty stadiums. And, you know, coach says, it's dull. And that would be my expression as well. I think what most of us think about the way so many of these teams in the NBA, MLB, NFL sort of play when things haven't gone exactly to schedule for them. So when you're trying to watch the Texans for fantasy football purposes, the main thing that you're thinking is, this is dumb. So that's my sort of viewing approach. Colin, what are you doing these days in Ireland? I know that it's a little bit tricky there.
Yeah, there's a few questions and there's another, I won't go in exactly to the time. So there is a question coming up on that. In terms of the game day though, and I'm going to pop another question in here before I go into my routine, but I did get a question that was coming in and it rolled back. Sometimes I wondered, do people listen to the ad reads? Do people just skip through? How does that work? But I had a question on how many Pepsis have exploded after you forgot you put one in your freezer? So then he said, are your ad reads just more propaganda from the big freezer corporation? So this rolls back to Pepsi sponsoring the show a couple of years ago. And I did say that my favorite way to drink Pepsi was on game days by putting them into the freezer so they're ice cold and then taking them out. I can confirm that I've never exploded a Pepsi. So I have a good record there. I've exploded lots of other alcoholic beverages that I've put into the freezer and forgot about. So sometimes you put them in, or maybe the party's going very good and you're like, I'm going to put this in the freezer because maybe I ran out and I had to get something that wasn't cool. And then obviously you sit down, you continue to drink and you forget that it's in the freezer. So I've woke up some mornings and the cans can be exploded, but I do in fact drink Pepsis. I drink a lot of different ones, all sugar-free, I guess, as well. But that is part of my game day routine, is usually those if I can, if I have more time to relax, it's usually something else added into them, maybe like a Tito's or something like that. But in terms of the overall viewing routine, my viewing routine has changed a lot over the last 3 years because I have a three-year-old daughter. And sometimes, depending on how things are going on the Sunday afternoon, can switch up a lot depending on meal times. Big thing at the moment now is like bath time or shower time is usually on a Sunday. So depending how the day goes, that could be during the games, it could be before the games if I'm lucky. It just all depends. So usually at the start of that early slate of games, my stress levels are really through the roof, whether it's making sure I get those lineups set or making sure that, you know, I don't want to be like given a bath and be like, I have an injury news here that I need to change. It, you know, can get very awkward. So that is a big part of my day every day. But I've got better, particularly this season, at really early in the mornings, once I get up, get those lineups pretty much as set as I'm going to have them. And unless something really changes late on, to change those. So that's eased that stress level. But Sundays usually revolves around setting DFS lineups as well. And I've tried to lower the amount of those to, again, lower my blood pressure during that time. So because the games, and we'll roll this into the next question, is the game start with me at 6 p.m. for that early set of games on a Sunday. I tend to try and have my, you know, kind of dinner before that. But something I've rolled in this season in particular is getting those kind of chicken wings and hot sauce, usually around that split in the games, which is usually like, you know, 9 p.m. my time. So I've really been enjoying that this year as my kind of mid game watching snack. But like you, Sean, kind of usually a multiple TV setup. Me and Sean have talked off air about a new laptop I bought recently enough. And, you know, recently it's February time now, but that lets you AirPlay onto the TV screen. Now the TV screens also have the option to have Game Pass on that. So between Game Pass and Red Zone and, you know, watching, usually having the Packers game on as well, trying to get as much in at the same time as I can. So Sean does watch all the games, even the Houston Texans, which that is a real tribute to Sean's dedication to his craft. But I usually watch the Texans there on you know, kind of the fastest possible version of those games. Unless, of course, Jonathan Taylor's playing against them, then I try and see as much as we can. But that's kind of my game day. But Sean, the next part of the game day question came in from Matthew, and he asked, you know, he said, Colm, like you, I live outside the US with its reasonable NFL airtimes and have to be relatively creative with how he watches games. He actually says that, I assume that he's in Japan. He says, in Japan, I have to wake up at 2 a.m. on Monday, and I want to watch, if he wants to watch the games live, but he said, you have a similar problem with the Sunday, Monday, Thursday night games. So they'd be on here at kind of 1:30 a.m. with me. And he says, do you stay up till 4 a.m.? So, and then he also said, do you wait to check fantasy scores until you've watched the game? So answering that one first, I actually lived in Australia in 2016, not long before I returned home very shortly before that first show with Sean. In that situation, the games used to finish at 7 a.m. So I'm not sure, it sounds like Japan and Australia might be on, you know, pretty close time zones. But watching those games, what I used to do in Australia was go to work on the Monday and not check any scores and then watch it as if it was live via Red Zone, to see all the games as they happen and try not to watch the scores. So that is something, as I've got older, I've decided on watching on my schedule now. The games that are Thursday night football or Sunday night football, I tend to not watch those live. And like you mentioned, I watch them through Game Pass, so I can watch them from the start without knowing the scores, usually once I wake up. So get up at, like, you know, 7 a.m., watch them that way. So I used to get up and watch those games, and, you know, I just, as I get older, it's the body can't take it. And with a young child, it definitely can't take it. So that's my kind of routine for those, I guess, primetime games in the US. But each Sunday, I will stay up to probably 1:30, 2 a.m. to catch all the NFL action in those two slits. Sean, is there any challenges for you? And the listeners probably have heard this a couple of times on the show. You are in one time zone, I'm in another, and we set up our podcast recording schedule on Eastern Standard Time, which is another another time zone. So any challenges for you? I know we did touch on the London games and that being an incredibly early start for you, but any challenges for watching games with your daily schedule?
No, it really is kind of perfect, right? Because when I used to live in Central, you know, noon is, you got to wait, you got to be patient. If you're out there on the East Coast, and I lived in New York for a year and a half with my brother, sort of a little bit before I started all of this, and then you're at 1 o'clock. And I mean, if you're trying to take the subway to a sports bar so you can see some of these games, you know, that is so hectic and challenging that maybe the 1 o'clock start time is good for you. It can be hard to get to the bar by 1 o'clock there in New York City. But out here where you just, you know, tumble out of bed, get your donuts, set your lineups and start, I mean, 10 a.m. is great. It's almost frustrating when we get the time change and Arizona kind of toggles between two different time zones. And so we get the time change, it goes to 11 o'clock and then you're like, ah, I mean, I got this extra hour to burn here. And so, yeah, I mean, it'd be better if they had the London games after the time change, but no, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. You and I have that extra little challenge around the time change because we're not changing, which is how we toggle zones. Then you're changing, and then we like change different weeks, right? Ireland changes their time like a week earlier or later than we do. And so,
and I think that's happening maybe next week. I think that might happen again. So we could be back to that.
So, you know, either Colin or I will be sitting here looking at the blank screen, wondering where the other person is. And it's because the times have just gotten too complicated.
We should have called this podcast, now that we think about it, should have been Rotoviz Over Time Zones.
There you go. There you go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
So Sean, another question that we got quite a few times. So what I've done is a lot of these questions have come in. Some of them have come in multiple times. And then, so there's, I've kind of tried to summarize them all up as best as we can. But we had a question in, and it was about, have we pets? And then the next question was, have we a favorite animal, maybe if we didn't have pets? So I'll let you go first, Sean. I know, you know, you have a cat. So if you want to go through some of that.
I do, and she's such an adorable little long-haired, ferocious beast. I mean, she looks like a wild animal, except at the very, very smallest scale. And, you know, pets and animals are interesting, are fun. The affection that they give you really is priceless, and, you know, the research indicates that, yes, I mean, it's very, very healthy to have that relationship. She's interesting because she is willing to interact with people, but is also just ferocious, and she's tiny. And so when she's, you know, outside, she hasn't been outside for a long, long time because it's not safe and healthy. But when she was, I mean, she would be always getting into fisticuffs with much larger cats. You know, she'd come back all, you know, scraped up from that and looking very much like she was happy that it had worked out the way it was, that, she was going to fight and it didn't matter how much bigger they were. And that's kind of her relationship with most things. So I love the personality. I love the contrasts of it. And she's 16 now and doesn't have, I mean, she walks around like a little old cat and, you know, has some other little health problems. So I'm hoping that she still has another 5-6 good years, but, you know, there is some trepidation about, you know, what might happen with where her health is. But, you know, she has some arthritis, she doesn't move very well. And yet, I mean, she's always just been this crazy athlete. And so every once in a while, you know, you'll see her flying through the air, jumping up onto cabinets that, you know, as she's just walked very slowly through the room, you wouldn't think that she necessarily has in her, but she definitely does when she needs to or when she wants to. So that's always kind of fun to see that combination of athleticism, personality, and it just is a special relationship, as I'm sure many listeners have with their pets as well.
Yeah, and I talk to a lot of people about different pets, and my wife is actually a vet or a veterinarian, and so pets have always played a big part in her life. But people may have heard this story before. I know, Sean, one of the questions we're going to talk about either on today's show or another episode is my kind of, you know, how I got into American football and, you know, where my fandom of the Packers came from. I actually have, again, linking back to the Australian story I told a moment ago, which ties in well. Before we went to Australia, we had a dog, and my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law, their dog actually was very old and passed away, unfortunately. And we were moving to Australia, so they offered at that time to look after the dog. Because we knew we were going to come back, we were going for 1 year. And when we were going, they took the dog. When we come back, we were getting married shortly after that. Then obviously we've had our daughter. So the dog has remained with them. It was like a loan that they decided that they were going to hold on to the dog. So they live maybe, you know, 3-4 minutes walk. So I see him pretty much every day. But the dog, and this is the part that I still can't figure out how it worked out. We were looking for a name. What do we call the dog? And I suggested the name Packer. And I suggested a lot of names, and I really didn't think any of the names would get approval. Whatever happened when I said Packer, my wife kind of said, oh, that's not, you know, that's not too bad. And whatever worked after that, the name stuck. So my dog, who is like he's a Shih Tzu kind of cross. So he's not a thoroughbred or, you know, a purebred. He's a cross between two different dogs, but mainly a Shih Tzu, and his name is Packer. So he stayed with us for a weekend, maybe 3 weekends ago. And I always enjoy, one of the things we used to do, I used to watch the games with him. My wife has no interest in the game, so I used to get a partner to watch the games with Packer. So that's my kind of story about my dog and his name, and part of the fandom, I guess, of the Green Bay Packers. But he is coming up now to 9 or 10 years old, so getting a little bit older. And he is a little bit, I don't know how he was designed, kind of has a bad overbite and some bendy legs, but he's at the same time, like you're saying, he's a great pet to have, and you do become very attached. And the most surprised I think I've become attached to is we actually have some hens or chickens. So we have 4 hens, and some of the fantasy teams I had this year were kind of named after those guys. So we get like fresh eggs every day and things like that. So I didn't think I would have hens, and I definitely didn't think I would become super attached to them. So they're a lot of fun as pets, which is probably more unusual than not. So one dog, which is kind of a stepdog now, I guess we'll call it, and then 4 chickens is where I'm at the moment.
It's interesting there with the chickens, because it seems like there are some places that I've visited where they are ubiquitous and are just, you know, kind of walking around everywhere. I'm assuming that's not the case in your neighborhood there.
I'll tell you a story about them. I actually had to extend the gate. The gate was about, I don't know, 6 inches shorter than the rest of the fence. And for a few days there, I was going out to check on them, and like one of them kept being out. So they could fly over a certain height. And this was actually before he started to escape over the fence. But one of the chickens is called Houdini, because obviously she is very good at escaping. So I've had to build an extension onto that so they can't get out anymore. So sometimes, Sean, they do be walking around quite wild. The other part of the question, Sean, was about favorite animals. And another question that came in is, what is your favorite wild animal and why? The question also said that it seems a bit trivial, but they kind of love people's reactions to the question. It tells a bit about their relationship with nature and how they think about it. I'm just wondering, is there any non kind of domesticated animals, I guess, that are of interest to you?
Well, I was trying to figure this out and then think through some of them. And I think that some of the small, feisty animals like the wolverine and the mongoose, you know, you kind of get caught up in the myth of some of those creatures, and they sort of appeal to certain parts of the personality, that combination of size but feistiness. And I was at a very impressionable age when I was like a first and second grader. I lived in Michigan, and the Michigan Wolverines were my favorite team, and so that gives you a little bit more of that connection to this animal that has obviously the ferociousness for its side. But I think that, you know, currently living here in Arizona and kind of in an area where, you know, it's Tucson is kind of this weird mix of suburban and, you know, borderline urban, but the zoning is more all over the place to where everything is kind of mixed together. Depending on what street you're on, you could love it or hate that aspect of it. But the wild animals and the wildlife, you know, certainly also kind of mixed in there. And so we see javelinas, you know, moving through the yard pretty frequently, you know, these big boars essentially, and, you know, have some deer, have some foxes, all of that kind of thing. But you go out and you walk along the wash, you know, where the water pours through when we have our monsoon. You know, you walk a little bit in anywhere where you go, where there's desert at all, and you can run across and see some bobcats. And I think that the cats have become so special to me with Anais, my cat. And so the other cats, and I love the grace and the way that they move, kind of that combination of the poised athleticism, this ability to really go if they need to, but the quiet and all of that in the movement as they're just walking around. So it's pretty cool. Anytime you see the bobcat, we've had, you know, one just kind of hanging out in the backyard every once in a while. We've got a bobcat who will walk through the driveway every couple of months. And it's pretty amazing to see an animal like that so close. And so I think the big cats, and we always joke all the time, obviously here are the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll be watching the games, and Anais will be watching the games with us, and she's always rooting against them because they're birds, and you know, she loves the Panthers, she loves the Jaguars. And so all of these cat kind of themes come into play in terms of the favorite animals.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of, like, you know, those bigger animals, particularly, you know, I think probably most people have some sort of a soft spot for the likes of, like, lions and, you know, things like that there. You mentioned the grace and the poise that those sort of animals can move at. We actually, quite unusual in Donegal, where I'm from, we have an animal sanctuary for rescued animals, and they, like, have rescued animals from all over the world, but they actually have some bears there, like wild bears that people were keeping in Russia, and they're quite amazing to see up close in terms of, you know, big animals. And that's very unusual for here in Ireland to, you know, to have something like that. But I've always been very fond of dolphins. You know, I always thought they were quite an amazing animal to see. So that would probably be my kind of one that's out in the wild. That's probably, I can't see myself ever having a pet dolphin. I don't think I have the water capacity around my house, but I always found them very, 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 very majestic kind of a creature. But Sean, we have we've gone 30 minutes. We did mention we had a lot of questions. We will split it up into another show or so. So we will run a line through it there. We will drop another one of these very, very close in the near future. As always, this has been RotoViz Overtime. The content of today's show is highly different to the content of our normal shows. I'm sure the people listening are more used to listening to those regular shows. We will have three of those coming up next week. We had three this past week. Head on back, listen to those if you haven't already. If you are a listener and you haven't yet signed up to rotoviz.com, you can get a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. We're going to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel, who you can follow on Twitter. But maybe Sean said if you have any thoughts, add them on social media. So Sean's on social media at FF_contrarian. Unlikely to ever see any comments there. So if you do have any other questions, suggestions that you want to send for future episodes, if we have some more of these, send them my way at Overtime Ireland on Twitter or rotovizradio@gmail.com, and we'll use some of the best there. But until we're back with the next show, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.